When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
New York is the city that never sleeps, and neither does Sal Licata. From Flushing in the Bronx to the Meadowlands and MSG, Sal sounds off on the biggest sports news of the day. Welcome to WFAN Daily with Sal Licata.
What a weekend! What a weekend! I mean, this is what we live for. I made sure to basically not leave the house. You know, if we had something to do, I was like, honey, do you mind maybe doing that? We get the game starting at one. Yeah, I was getting moving. You know, we just moved in, so I'm trying to get stuff settled while I had the Yankee game on and while I'm watching a little bit of the Mets. And then, of course, getting set for the Knicks on Saturday night. And let's begin there. We know the baseball teams are hot. We'll save that for another day. Good to see the Yankees win 2 of 3, although I do have concerns. And obviously good to see Lindor get going and the Mets somehow take 2 of 3 from L.A. But the Knicks, Saturday night, my biggest concerns about this team all showed up on Saturday. They don't have a legit number two. Could Brunson be the number one to carry them, even if he's getting doubled and triple teamed? You know, well, what are the Knicks going to look like when other teams turning up another night? Like, all those concerns and fears I had were justified and validated to a certain extent, because of course the Knicks still won the game. Now, however, it's great to win the game. You cannot play like that again and expect to win the series. They just can't do that. You know, and they know it. And I think it says something that they were able to win that game even without Brunson doing really anything, even with Anunoby really doing nothing. And by the way, I will say, I know it's just one game, Anunoby's highly overrated. He's better with Julius Randle on the floor. He cannot create his own shot. Matter of fact, you guys worry about Julius Randle. You know, it took all of 5 minutes to realize that the Knicks desperately miss Julius Randle. So all you people said, oh, they're better without him. Bullshit. They are not better without Julius Randle. They're worse without Julius Randle. That was confirmed in game one. Anunoby is better with Randle. Without him, he's useless. He hit 1-3 at the end of the game. Big deal. The Knicks would have been dead without Deuce McBride, somebody who showed some guts. Deuce McBride looked terrific. Yeah, I was worried about him being young going into the postseason. Is he going to be able to handle it? Well, we saw him start to round into form throughout the course of the regular season, and he picked right up. I mean, Deuce McBride is not afraid of anything. Playoffs doesn't matter. I'm sure he'll be the same way on the road now in Philadelphia when the series shifts to Philadelphia for Games 3 and Games 4. Who knows if there's going to be a Game 5. But all, without McBride going nuts, and then Josh Hart, who I don't trust, and I like his heart and makeup, no, literally no pun intended, but I like his makeup, and he's just not a good scorer. He can't shoot. Now, they got lucky. He started to hit a few shots, and the Knicks won because of it. Bogdanovich as well. Those guys you can't count on consistently to be the second option or be the first option when Brunson is out. One thing that I love from the game was Mitchell Robinson and the defense and the intensity that he played with. So while all my fears and concerns about this team were, you know, validated to a certain extent, the other side of things to say, yeah, but they don't need that number two because they've been winning as a team. Their grit, their toughness, their chemistry, their depth, those things have helped them win games all year long to get them to the 2 seed. And that was also validated and confirmed. Somehow they won that game. Maxey hitting shots from all over the place. Embiid went healthy, looked nasty at times. It didn't look like even Tobias Harris got it going as of late. I felt, you know, after that, the shaky start, and then after the Knicks blew them out in the second quarter, I was like, all right, Knicks are in control. Sixers come back in the third quarter. I'm starting to feel like, man, this is a game they're going to lose, just like they did last year, Game 1 Miami. This is not good. They got to win this game. Even late in that fourth quarter, I just didn't feel that the Knicks were going to win that game. The whole game watching it, I felt like that was a Sixers win written all over it, stealing one from the Garden with a disappointing effort from Jalen Brunson. Yet, the Knicks won. So, and even going back to the 90s where if, you know, Ewing played poorly or whatever, guys didn't shoot well, you know, the Knicks had one stolen from them at home. That would happen. It happens in long series. It didn't happen here. If you're the Sixers, you got to be demoralized thinking, man, we had a golden opportunity. Brunson did nothing. Anunoby did nothing And we still didn't come away with a win. How are they going to beat the Knicks? And that's with assuming that Embiid is healthy. So all in all, frustrating, concerning, scary at times. But ultimately, the Knicks came away with the win. And now they look to make it, you know, they got to go up two games to none here as they'll take on the Sixers on Monday night. But a fun night watching that. Now we fast forward to Sunday. And I got to tell you a little story here. I'm embarrassed to say this and to share this, but this is just the truth. You know me. I'm going to give it to you real. So I was watching the Ranger game first period. You know, I did the stuff that I had to do for the house and all that. Got it out of the way before three. And my wife's like, oh, we got to go to PetSmart and we got to go to Home Depot. I'm like, yeah. All right, well, it's got to be after three. We did some things before and then I wanted to go after three, you know, after the Ranger game was over. But then they closed. It's whatever. You don't need to get into all that stuff. Point is, I was there locked in, as I always am, to every single Ranger playoff game. First period was a total bore. Total bore. And, you know, I'm sitting back on the couch and I started to, feel a little sleepy. And I'm thinking, all right, well, I'll take a little nap during the intermission because the excitement of the crowd and the announcers, they'll wake me up in the second period. Well, guess what? Somehow, I guess when my daughter was watching the iPad, she started to stream the iPad onto the TV that I was watching. I didn't hear a thing. Woke up mid-second period, 3-1. I missed four goals. That was basically all the action of the whole game. How did I miss Rempe's first goal? Couple things. You know this is going to be the Rangers' year because Rempe gets the scoring started. I mean, come on. Do you need more of a sign? As if OJ wasn't enough. Like the symmetry between 93 and 94. OJ being relevant. The Knicks and Rangers at the same time getting going. All 30 years later. Then you see Rempe get the first goal. Like, that's just a great sign. Fan favorite, guy who's never going to score a goal. He scores the first goal of the postseason for the Rangers. Then you have the Rangers really handling with ease the Washington Capitals, which is something the Rangers in the first round haven't handled anything with ease. In the greatest years of Lundqvist, it was a struggle. Not dating back till, from my recollection, 94, when they swept away the Islanders in the first round, then took care of the Caps in five in the second round. Made things easy before they got difficult, taking on the Devils and Canucks, you know, in consecutive seven-game series. You get the feeling, like, I even felt like, this series is so lopsided that it's not even must-watch locked into it. However, I was until I fell asleep and woke up to a stream of Doc McStuffin. That's a problem. And then I was thinking about it to cap off, you know, the symmetry. I was like, man, what the hell's going on? Is there something wrong with me? Am I really just getting old? Am I doing too much? What's going on here? When have I ever missed a Rangers playoff game? Fall asleep for a period of a Rangers playoff game. You know when? Take a guess. 1994. You know why? I had the chicken pox. I fell asleep with the chicken pox, and I remember waking up just before Greg Adams scored the OT winner for the Canucks in the Stanley Cup Finals. I kid you not. Now do you believe? Hey, how about those Mets taking 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers? What the hell is going on? Crushing Yamamoto in the process. You got Francisco Lindor getting going from the left side. I thought he was washed up. I feel like somebody was saying that Lindor was washed up and maybe he should switch to being a right-handed hitter. No, not so fast. Lindor looking like he's getting going. And I'll tell you this, truth be told, Friday night, as I'm looking for the Mets to crush Yamamoto, trying to stay up, I lasted, I think, 4 innings Friday night. Just an inning short of Yamamoto. But I'm watching Lindor, and I think it was first and second. There was a couple of guys on early in the game, and I was waiting for him to do damage, and he popped up. And at that point, I've been patient here with Lindor. I'm like, forget it. I can't take it anymore. I almost tweeted something, but I didn't. Good thing I didn't, because then Lindor later in that game comes through. And obviously, big fashion. And he just looks like he's starting to get going now, specifically from the left side. But, man, how about the Mets taking 2 out of 3? What a weekend. I know they lost 10-0, but you know what? So they did their job. Take 2 out of 3 and move on to San Francisco. Remarkable. I really didn't think this team had it in them. Now I'm wondering, when's it going to end? You know, the Yankees as well, watching Juan Soto on Friday night. And, you know, I know frustrating Saturday, but Soto's a Friday night. Then the Sterling festivities was fun on Saturday. Unfortunately, the Yankees offense didn't get anything going. And then they did win 2 out of 3 against the Rays, but you know, almost like sleepwalking in the process. Something's off with the Yankee team. Let me rephrase that. It's not that there's something off, but their winning is masking some serious flaws. clearly Aaron Judge is struggling. It's not just 2 weeks now. It's been almost the entire month. So he's got to get going, because without Aaron Judge, it can't just be a one-man show in Juan Soto. This is not the NBA. You need a lineup to carry you. And I said last week, I'm okay with 1-2-3, although Volpe's been struggling since he's been moved into the leadoff spot. Judge obviously has been struggling, but just the two spot has been so good with Juan Soto that it makes up for the rest of them. I'm not okay with 4-5-6, Stanton, Rizzo, Gleyber. I know Rizzo had, you know, impact today, of course, but ultimately, I think Stanton's washed or going the wrong way. He's been going the wrong way. I just don't trust him. Same thing with Rizzo, and Gleyber, you know, can't buy one right now. So I worry about those three. I do think in the bottom of the order, they'll be fine. And you saw that again on Sunday with Verdugo, with Trevino, the catcher spot, whoever that may be. Wells, I know, hasn't done much, but Trevino could put the bat on the ball and get a clutch hit. So I like Verdugo. I like Trevino down there. And then Cabrera has been terrific. So I'm not worried about 7-8-9. It's 4-5-6. And now, even more importantly, it's 1-3. And I was thinking about this. I've been talking about the Yankees have the top three, the best top three in baseball. I was wrong. Callers called me out for that. And I was like, no. It was East Coast Yankees bias. Where Volpe's at his best, Soto at his best, and Judge at his best, I think they'll be on par with anybody. However, you watch the top three with the Dodgers, Betts, Ohtani, Freeman. Doesn't get any better than that, where all three of those guys will be surefire Hall of Famers. Maybe Volpe, Soto, Judge will be Hall of Famers, but not surefire like the other three. And Volpe struggles now since being moved to leadoff. We said it might have been a mistake at the time. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, Booney. And now Volpe's struggling a little bit. He's got to work his way out of it. I think he will, but still, the Yanks keep winning series, which is good, but still have some flaws that would be concerning. All right, that does it for this edition of WFAN Daily. Don't forget to download, rate, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Also, email us, WFANDaily@gmail.com. We'll answer your questions or comments in an upcoming mailbag episode. We'll have a special guest for you coming on tomorrow's episode. You don't want to miss that. Stay tuned. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, or if you're listening to this on Monday, enjoy the start of your week. The weekend's too short, isn't it? Anyway, we'll see you tomorrow.